This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt. We're on season 4, episode 1 of the season. The summer has flown by. We're just going to get stuck into QPR. What's happened this summer? We've got a special guest in Kenneth Powell coming on. So we'll be on in a bit. We're going to reflect on a bit of a mad pre-season. We're going to go through some transfer details. It's all kicked off this week after Saturday's drumming, and we'll just chat through Watford. So let's go, lads. Who have we got on the pod? We've got Duncan McCready. How we doing, mate?
I am very good, mate. Wasn't so very good at the weekend after watching the Oxford game, but it's pre-season. Let's leave it there and let's concentrate on Watford.
We are also welcoming back Brad. We've decided to show up.
Why couldn't you sign in?
It's as if we've got a big guest on and you only come when we've got someone on.
Only show my face when we got guests. Talking to you two, it's no good, mate. How are you boys doing, all right?
Yeah, all good.
All good.
We've also got Harry from our Insights. How are you, mate?
Yeah, all good, mate. Made special effort to be here whilst on holiday, so this is valuable time. Yeah, I'm on
Where
holiday. I'm in Spain.
Oh.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, wait. I had to be on. I heard Kenneth was going to be on the pod, so I couldn't turn it down, could I?
Welcome back on, mate. So, lads, let's chat through QPR then. Saturday, not the greatest. What do we make of it? What is it? Is it just a friendly? Do we need to worry? Panic? What are we thinking, Dunk? What are you thinking?
I don't think friendlies are just ever just a friendly. Like, I feel like it's probably been exaggerated a little bit how bad a result it was, because you don't, I suppose when you get to 3-0 in a friendly, you're not going to be like a league game when you put all your effort in to try and keep it at 3-0. Do you know what I mean? And as I don't know, it's just kind of infuriating. It's the last game before the season starts to get hammered. Like, because any confidence they had from pre-season or anything would just be absolutely gone now, surely.
I think Jimmy Dunn us in, didn't he, when he went off? But
like we did that, Brad.
looking at that team he put out, it's almost like it's going to be, you know, our starting team, a little bit, few changes. But you can look at the beneficial side of getting smashed 5-0 is that it just goes to show that Gareth needs players. So above, you know, he can go to them and say, look, we've just lost Jimmy Dunn. We just got beat 5-0. I've put a strong team out. I need some signings. So it's sort of worked in our favour, as you like.
Surely the club knew that before that result, though. They knew we needed players in.
Yeah, but then that's just the icing on the cake, isn't it? You go out and get beat 5-0 Oxford.
That makes me worried that these aren't thought-out signings going to be. They're going to be like panic signings. It's literally, shit, we just got hammered by Oxford. Jimmy Dunn's out for who knows how long. And we're going to need to get some bodies in because otherwise we're really going to struggle.
Well, we knew that anyway, right? Like you said, it's not like so I guess my question, Harry, to you is, do you think that the 5-0 has prompted everyone to panic a bit and bring in players that we probably were going to bring in anyway as the window progressed? Or do you think they were coming in anyway?
Well, I think the callback one, I think we've been in talks with him for ages. I think West London Sports said he was number one target, but we've now signed him on a 2-year contract with an option for a third. I don't think the contract looked like that before Saturday. So I think it's a bit of both. Like, this is a signing that we would have made, but have we twisted what we would like to do to make sure he comes through the door, if that makes sense? So I reckon we've offered him an extra year just to make sure he comes through, because we are starting to panic. But yeah, I think that it is going to make us start getting players through the door. And even if I think we're going to get centre back in before Saturday, and even if it's not number one, I think we are starting to panic now, and we will get in a centre back ASAP.
We need bodies in, right? I think anybody who looks at that team as it is now, even with the addition of Jack Colback, it would be tough for any manager, right? You know, to get that team and keep them in this championship, as tough as it is this season. And I think Saturday, we went on last Thursday to meet Gareth for a little tour around the new training ground, which is really good, by the way. And we had a quick 45-minute hour with Gareth, and he was pretty honest and reiterated a lot of what he's already said to everybody around how difficult the season's going to be. He mentioned in there that we were close to bringing in a 33-year-old. He did say it was a defender. I don't know if that was to put us off. I think the deal was pretty much close then anyway. He alluded to the fact a lot that we are not going to bring in a lot of players. I don't know if Doug, Brad, you were there, but it didn't feel like in that session that we were going to go out and panic buy. He kept saying one or two signings, we may be able to bring someone in. We haven't got any money. I think we did offer wing a deal. I think Colback was always number one, wasn't he? Which I think is why maybe the wing was left, you know, was there. But it took so long to push through, I think, that Colback deal, that maybe we thought we were going to get him anyway. Point being that we now look like we're going to be bringing in, Dave Mack on Twitter said, 5 to 7 players. I don't know how true that is, but that's a completely different story than what we got when we were when we were speaking to Gareth. So
he did state that when we were talking to him, though, that he wants 15 solid core players that are ready to go. Obviously, he just said injury at the time with just Jake Clarke-Salter. But then he was talking about, you know, when he was at QPR, and he just wants passion at the club every weekend. He just wants players to play. And I guess when we were there, we were all ears. But looking at the Oxford result, it didn't quite look as he said, because they sort of lost their heads.
He said that we won't get anything to happen last season. You won't get players not trying. You won't get players not going into tackles. You won't get set. We won't concede many set pieces. And we did all those things 2 days later, which was a bit demoralising.
But then it, like you said, it is a friendly, so I don't know. But then that's no excuse really to go get beat 5-0. But, you know, talking Akri and what you said about the training ground, it was bloody lovely, wasn't it? Let's be honest. It was a nice training ground, and that is definitely going to attract players, because we've just managed to attract Begovic. Was it the training ground? But obviously they've stated that it was. That was a big factor in why he come. Maybe, you know, Jack's obviously said as well that the training ground's good. So it does look good that we've got that training ground there, and it looks like Gareth does know where he wants to go, but he said to us 2-3 years to give him time. Obviously the clubs probably won't give him time, but he said he needs time, and that's just for a mid-table. I think even he knows that the players we've got now on paper are just, it's going to be tough, to be honest. But we've got Ilias and Willock. If we keep them till next window, and they're in, you know, on their day, they're unplayable, aren't they? So
I think it's highly unlikely that they're both here come the end of August. Personally, I think clubs are probably doing what we're doing to other clubs and waiting for us to budge with our valuation, especially for Chris Willock. And although Ainsworth spoke quite highly of Willock, didn't mention Ilias too much, but he did mention at the end that one player will be leaving, whether it's this window or January. So I guess that was aimed at Willock.
I think we're just sort of waiting on a Jack Harrison to go to a Premier League side to get all this in motion. Like, at the minute, all these bigger clubs, they've got enough talent in their ranks to just wait. The championship teams that could afford a Willock or a Chair, especially Chair, obviously Willock might be able to go for a bit cheaper. but you feel like they're waiting for one of their players to go before they're forced to bring in a Chair or a Willock, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think Coventry were in for it, weren't they? But I think they've sold. I think they were unsure still about Gokeres, if he was going to go or not. He's now gone. So that's opened up a different pool of players for them, I think. You know, they can now, and I think they've just signed, or Green signed someone for €6 million or something, some winger. So I think that's impacted that. But you are right, Ilias, is he good enough for the Premier League? Would a Sheffield United come in for him? Would they just sold Ndiaye, or he's gone to Marseille, hasn't he? So I was surprised Luton weren't around. I don't know why, I thought Luton would sniff around, but they didn't, did they? They went for that Birmingham player, didn't they?
Sure.
I mean, this callback's a great signing, isn't it? Every QPR fan is happy with Jack coming in. You know, he's good. But the real question is, obviously, where's the academy players? You know, we keep talking about academy players not good enough, but we're working on it, right? We're working on the academy players, and it's time for them to step up. But obviously, we've got no one there to step up. So where's the academy? Do you know what I mean? In that respect. There's none good enough. So we're not really bringing anyone through the ranks, are we? Let's be honest.
The problem is we're still kind of almost playing catch-up with the academy side of it, though, aren't we? Because we still haven't got the best academy in London. So we're still waiting to pick up those odd little gems that fall through another club, a Premier League club's academy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's true. The problem. And it doesn't happen very often at the minute. Like, there's not very many academy players that are coming through in most teams.
That's right. Even our better, I'd say, academy players, or the ones that are stepping up from the B team, a lot of them were picked up from Premier League sides. Like Woodman looked all right when he played in the last couple of games. He was at Palace. We picked him up at, I think he was 18, 19. Same with Pedder from Spurs. Like, none are really all the way through our academy. I think Aaron Drew is the only one that's really sort of making an impression that's come all the way through. So, yeah, we're in a bit of a tricky situation with that one.
I think he will star as well, won't he, Aaron Drew? What do you think? Think he will play at all?
It depends if we bring in another right back, and I think we will bring in a right back. I don't want to slate Kakai too much, but like, I really don't think he's good enough to be our number one right back for the season. So
I can't deal with him in our right back. I can't, man. I can't. It just, I've got nothing against him, but you know, he isn't. I don't want to be too rude to him, because he looks like a nice guy. I'm sure he's not probably listening to this, but still, like, you know, he just isn't good enough, is he? It's been years and years and years. Like, he's got nearly 100 championship appearances under his belt. He's just not good enough, is he?
He's one of those, isn't he, where he's good enough to be a backup and play, maybe start 5 games a season when the normal right-back's injured or away on international duty or something. He's not good enough to be playing 40-odd games in the Championship.
It'll show, like, a real glimpse of being amazing for, like, 10 minutes in a game, and you'll go, oh, hang on a second, what's going on here? And then he'll just be like a hot potato and he doesn't know what he's doing. And he might be okay as a right centre-back. I've heard that a few times. He was half decent under Warburton there, wasn't he? He filled in there a few times.
That Watford game where he was playing left wing back, which is obviously very much out of position, but he looked brilliant. And then you say that, and are there many other games in the last like 2 or 3 years that you can recall where he's had a decent game? So, yeah.
I think we will bring in a right back, won't we? What's the biggest worry for me is, and I don't know whether it is, I know we need defenders, and I know we're short at defenders, but it doesn't really matter if we're not scoring goals and creating, and which we are not doing. And we didn't do the end of last season enough. We've lost a lot of players. And Willock, Chair and Dykes are going to start on Saturday. It's the same front three as it's been for the last, you know, on the main. I don't know, Richards is still an unknown, isn't he? He may well be good. He may well not. I mean, that tackle, you know, the tackle that he didn't make on Saturday, I don't know if you saw it. It was pretty awful before the goal. Did anyone see it?
Yeah.
But then, do you think Colback's going to come in and start Saturday then?
Yeah. I can't see how he's
not. I don't think he's fit. He's not fit, is he?
But the thing is, you can still play him for that first hour. Like, he's not going to get fit unless he's playing games. There's no more pre-season games. You're going to have to play him. And we need his experience. Like, he's not a wet behind the ear youngster coming through the academy. He's a seasoned pro. Like, I'm sure he could step up into the Watford game, play that. We need, with no centre backs at the minute, like, we need experience in other positions. So well, I can't see him not starting.
That, didn't he said that at the training ground. That's all he's going to really bring in is 30-year-olds, 30. He wants the experience. That's what he said.
That's what he said. A lot of experience.
He likes experienced players. He needs them.
He thinks the squad's young enough. But, and like, you've got to remember, like he said, Aaron Drew's older than Ethan Laird when we had Ethan Laird last year.
Yeah, it's mental.
Do you know what I mean? Aaron Drew's like 23, 24. Like, he's not an academy youngster anymore. Like, he should be establishing himself in a team.
But going back to what Ben just said then, though, I think he sort of hit the nail on the head. We're starting with Dykes up top with Chair and Willock. And then we're still going to have Fieldy in the middle. So we're only going to put Cole back there. And it, does Cole back offer more than, you know, he's a seasoned pro, but will he offer more than Johansson and Dizel? Is it going to be the biggest change? No. Dykes wasn't getting the service last season, so what makes us think that he's going to get the service now?
That's the worry, isn't it? Is that for everything that Gareth, and I said this to him, didn't I? Everything that Gareth Rangers saying that we're going to be, it's difficult to imagine, but we've got pretty much the same 11 at the moment. Oh, that may well change. Like, where's Smith? You know, it's frustrating.
Mm. The big difference is going to be our style of play, isn't it? I think we're going to be getting the ball up to Dykes a lot quicker than we have done before.
I've not seen that, and we're at the end of pre-season.
So yeah, I think he's going to revert back to type, and it's going to be trying to get the ball up to Dykes as quick as possible. The thing is, he tried this, didn't he? Like we said, like last season, he tried it against like the Blackpools, the Wiggins, the Rotherhams. He tried to play football, and we got turned over by the teams worse than us in the league. So he's going to go back to this result of going route one.
But a bit of a mad one, though. Surely, I don't know if I'm talking absolute waffle, but
probably
do you reckon he's still got tactics in the locker that he's not even used in pre-season because he doesn't want it to come out yet? Do you know what I mean?
That he's might a bit weird like that. He's very secretive, isn't he?
That's what,
like,
I'm saying. So is he come out in pre-season and just hold back of some things and we're going to see it at Watford because he doesn't want it to come out? I don't know. It's just birds of you having a look in.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a start of a back three against Watford just because of the injuries at the back.
I don't know if he might be able to field enough centre halves.
You could drop Field in there, couldn't you?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually does drop Field in there. And
like KK can play right centre back of a three, Adoma right wing back. Like, it doesn't sound good when you listen to it, but that's the only thing that you think could make us a little bit more solid by having that extra body at the back.
And he trusts Adoma, doesn't he? He put Adoma in when it mattered last season. But I think Smith is the one signing that who will probably start when he's fit that makes a real difference to the 11, not in terms of like he's going to set the league alight, but he makes us a different animal, if that makes sense. Like,
a lot of pace,
the little cameo he showed, he's just going to want to get his man and put it in the box. Whereas Willock and Chair are a little bit more neat and tidy, like they want it to look all good. But Smith will just get his man and put it in the box. And I think that's the only signing so far which really makes us a different outfit going forward. I don't know if you guys would agree with that.
I don't think Ainsworth's style, we've said, everyone said it, doesn't suit Willock and Chair. They're not getting the balls in the right position, in the right places, out wide, far out wide. They need the ball, like, you know, when Beale's playing the nice football and they'll end up getting it right outside the box and they can turn, shimmy, like, no one wants to touch him because they're near the box, and that's when Chair and Willock are at their best. But when they couldn't be any further apart on Saturday, literally we were on the touchline, right? I mean, if you're defending that, that's ideal for you, isn't it? Getting them two out there is just, you know, that's where you'd want them.
I think the idea of Ilias out there was his open play delivery is all right. I won't talk about his set play delivery, but his open play delivery is all right. And I think he was just trying to think he's on his right foot. All he's got to do is try and create a yard and whip it for Dykes. I think that's the thinking there, but it just didn't work, did it really? I can't think of a single scenario where Ilias put a ball into the box.
Well, he won't, because he turns about five times, and by that time the opportunity's gone, hasn't he? That's just what he does. He's always done that, hasn't he?
Yeah, which surely, is why him out of him and Willock, he's the one that doesn't suit Ainsworth's style at all. because he wants to have all those extra touches constantly.
He looked a bit off on Saturday as well, didn't he? I don't know if you lads watched on the street. Looked a bit not huffy, a bit like down. Do you know what I mean? Like the way he was walking when he didn't have the ball and stuff like that. Just something feels like it's going on. I don't know. Could be wrong.
But could you not look at that as if? Do you remember when we had Bill? Bill put it all into Chair, didn't he? Let's be honest, and he got one of the best out of Chair, other than Warburton. But
he was called the teacher's pet.
He was called the teacher's pet. He even gave him a captaincy. You know, do you think Ainsworth is just not doesn't have that connection with Chair, and Chair needs that because we've heard from him. You know, we've seen it that they said Chris Willett needs that, don't they? At times, he needs a bit of a lift up, give his head a wobble and that. But I don't know.
I think that Willett wasn't fit enough, was he? That was his issue. Wasn't fit enough to be up and down that touchline as much as Ainsworth wanted him to be. Whereas with Chair, I'm not sure whether defensively and physically he's up for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You need those Mavericks, sorry, don't you?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to win anything.
He said Sinclair Armstrong was going to have a bit to play in it, though, didn't he?
Yeah, and I don't know. Do you remember Mick Beale said that we weren't going to sign any loan players and then we ended up signing five in the end? He didn't like the loan players, same as Gareth. I don't know. I feel like we'll backfill with quite a few of loans. I don't know whether that'll be another forward and whether that'll be the right back.
I swear there was a play. We lost 7-1 to West Brom, didn't we? And we bought four players in. We bought Wells, Cameron, Rangel, Hemed. You know, we lost 7-1 to West Brom. They just bought loads in. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
could be the same situation.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
feels
I'm
like it, doesn't it? I mean, with all the centre backs names that we've seen knocking around,
we've got to remember as well. Watford are not looking the best.
Well, no, they're not. I mean, I've got a Watford mate, and he says they're a mess, just as much as a mess as us. But they've got two fit centre backs, so they're sort of ahead of us, aren't they?
I guess my question to you lot is: do you think that the bookies are right? We are one of the favourites to go down. Do you think we will definitely be down there?
I can't think of other teams. Think about it. Think about other teams. Like, I was trying to do a prediction. Someone asked me to do a prediction, Bob, like who's going to get relegated. And I'm trying to think of three teams other than QPR that are in a worse position and state. I can't think of any. But at the same time, it's QPR, isn't it? Like, I don't know. We never do what we're... Feels like something's going to happen and we're just going to have an amazing start. I don't know. Maybe being a bit over positive. Something that we're not, haven't been on this pod. Sorry. I don't know if anyone.
It's hard to be positive after this back end of the season we just had. Like, and you've come into the summer transfer window. We haven't really done a lot of business. Like, we still said we're going into the season with Dykes up top, with Kelman and Armstrong as our backup strikers. Like, Armstrong hasn't scored a league goal for us. Kelman has what scored 8 at lot on loan, something like that.
7, yeah.
Yeah, so like, it's not filling anybody with hope. Like, I still think we need a striker, to someone to at least provide an option if Dykes isn't fit.
100%, I agree with you there. I just know that when we play Birmingham, Roberts and Laird are going to have the game of their lives.
Well, Laird's injured already.
Is he out?
He's out. He's out for 3 weeks.
For the first game.
Yeah, lads, let's try and find something positive. Is there anything that is out there that's positive that we can look for?
Bringing Begovic in is a positive sign. I mean, Gareth said that he's got so much respect as soon as he walked through the door. He got that respect straight away. And then obviously when we met him, he was humble, nice guy. He looked like he wanted to be there. You know, I think most players probably do when you meet them. But there is positives. We've got the training ground, you know, and I just think that Gareth, come on, most managers, you know, you've got your Bills, you've got your Critchleys. Yeah, they wanted it. Of course they did. But I don't think you can put any man in this position and they'll want it more than Gareth Ainsworth. I might be wrong, but I just think his passion for the club. I
get the passion and the emotion argument, but sometimes you need to take emotion out of it. Is he too interlinked with the club that he might make the wrong decisions because he thinks he's doing the best for the club?
Yeah, but then look...
I'm only playing devil's advocate. Like,
but look, if we bring two good centre-halves in the striker, you know, say we do, then That's a positive in itself. We've just brought Begovic in, Jack Kulbak, two defenders and a striker. How can we not be positive about that? That's
the one thing there. I noticed was, I don't know if you saw the 11 that we started last season, the first game of last season. It wasn't great. It was
Depot started.
Yeah, Shadipo, we had Kakai, we had like similar sort of team. That it wasn't great, really. You know, we ended up with looking like a, well, we know how that ended, but you know, the team looked different, is what I'm saying. I've just seen the development lineup for tonight. I don't know if you've seen it.
Apparently, there's a few firsts or like
bring. Yeah, Fox is playing.
Yeah,
Gate and Smith are all playing.
That's good to see Smith playing.
So Gates playing.
Yeah, I think he'll shine, mate.
That's another one we haven't really touched upon. Fox.
I'll take it. Like, it'll be okay at left back and also good cover for JCS. I think he's played most of his football in the last 6 months at centre half. Well, sorry, what was that? Ben?
No, I said because we haven't seen him.
Oh, you haven't seen JCS for a while. Yeah, I was actually right behind the dugout at the Wimbledon game and I spoke to him and he said he should be fit for Watford. It's just whether they decide to use him. But obviously he's not playing tonight, so maybe he isn't. But I think they want to just wrap him in cotton wool. They know when he's called upon, he'll be good. It's just about making sure that he's actually fit, actually safe to play.
Exactly that. And then I think that's, you know, looking at last season, that's what we did wrong, I think. We brought players back when they wasn't ready. We did, didn't we?
Look at Amos' first game.
Amos back. Yeah. We brought Willock back. Or, you know what I mean? And I think that's what the club have obviously looked at now, and they're not making that. We can't afford to make that decision because we haven't got the money to replace these players to get injured. Then we will go down. Let's be honest.
But at the end of the day, if we've got a young centre-back pairing on Saturday, it's 3 points. Like, I'd rather that than lose JCS again for six weeks. So it might be a tough one to take on Saturday. And you were looking for positives, Ben, and I sort of managed to get it back to being a little bit negative, but yeah, we'll see. It would be very QPR, wouldn't it, to go and beat Watford after getting a 5-0 drubbing against Oxford. So
I think Begovic is captain in here as well. Well, we don't know that, but I think it's likely.
Well, he said that, didn't he, Ainsworth? And then he backtracked. So, but I think he will be named captain. But I mean, just quickly, lads, then for Watford, are we? What do you think, Doug? Positive? You're going to get a result? Do you think it's going to be tough?
I think it's going to be very tough. Obviously, a lot depends on if and who we get in the door in the next few days and if they're going to go into the squad or not. If they're not fit enough to go straight into the squad, I feel like Saturday could be a season starter of disappointment. I feel like we could easily get turned over because you just don't know with Watford. Like, they're so unpredictable like us. Like, they could have their better team out, but they could also be awful. Like, I don't know. I just feel like with the injury worries, I feel like we won't get a positive result.
I echo that, to be honest. And then the worst thing about it as well is the bloody trains on strike.
Don't tell us that. We've got to get about 5 trains.
Nightmare.
But I think, obviously, I think it'll be a 2-1, but I don't know who to.
I'm going to say 3-0 Watford. I'm not hopeful at all for Saturday.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Prediction yesterday, I did 1-0. I don't know what, I think a lucky Lyndon Dykes penalty, like early or late. Early pen or late pen. I don't know why, just fancy it.
That's a quick one. Do you think he's gonna play Smith then? You know, you said Willock and Chair. Obviously, if Smith's fit, do you think he'll bring him in and drop one of them? No.
Nah,
Because I know he spoke highly of Smith, but do you think he will bring him straight in?
The problem is, it's like, I'm assuming he's going to get some minutes tonight, but it's how many minutes he gets. Like, is he going to get a burnout and be done, like, rushing back like we did with Willock last season?
Yeah, that's what you're saying, yeah.
I think he'll make the bench, won't he, if he's playing today.
I think you're more likely to see Adoma start than Smith. I think Adoma is more likely to come in. He is. I said it. He will.
Yeah. Like I said, I could see him starting at right wing back. I could see Adoma starting at right wing back.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know if Richards that got taken off at half time. I don't know whether he's going to trust him away. I don't know whether he'll play Dizel. If he is fit, Colback, Field, Colback, and Dizel as a three. Then you've got your front three, maybe.
Say your lineup then. Say your 11 for Watford.
Oh, mate, I don't even think you could. I don't know. I literally don't know, because I think we're going to bring in a couple of players still. And I don't know who they are and whether they're going to be fit enough to play or not. I don't even think Colback. I don't know if at the end of his interview he said he was.
Basically, he said he'd been on holiday for 9 weeks, didn't he?
Yeah, basically. And he said he wished he was fitter also, and then he's got to try, so it doesn't sound like he's too fit.
No.
Just sums us up. What worries me the most as well is Ainsworth saying he wants a small squad and a core 15 players. We all know that we're going to have an injury crisis again this season. What happens then?
Well, you've gone and bloody said it now, haven't you?
We've already got one with centre-backs. I guarantee you, we'll sign a centre-back like this week, and on Friday, you'll pick up a knock. Guaranteed.
In training.
Yeah.
I think it'll be Kakai, new centre-back, Fox, Kenneth Powell. It'll be Field, Dizel. I think Colback might, I don't know, he might gamble on him, like Brad said, 60 minutes, I don't know. And then it will be Chair, Willock and Dykes. I'd imagine it, something like that.
Yeah, I'd like to know who his number two striker is going to be. Is it going to be Armstrong or Kelman? It's going to be one of them, isn't it?
I think Kelman's going to be playing off of Dykes.
Which on think Saturday. He'll start?
He could do that.
I think he'll start.
He could do that, you know. He could do that.
Yeah. Who up top?
Well, he seems to, all pre-season, he's played a 4-2-3-1 and Kelman and Richards have shared that like number 10 or off the striker position. Obviously, Kelman plays it a little bit closer to Dykes. And Richards played like he was drunk on Saturday. So I think that Kelman is gonna start. So that's what I think he'll go with. Or it's like a 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1, whatever you want to call it. I think he'll start. And like you said, he's been speaking highly of him, hasn't he? And he'll work hard for the team. You know you're going to get that with him. So you can see why Ainsworth likes him.
Yeah. Well, one lads, we've now got Kenneth Powell joining. Just let him in.
Well, we are now joined by Kenneth Powell. Ken, how are you, mate? You okay?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, good.
Very well. How was your time off? Did you get out too much?
Nah, I've enjoyed it. I went on vacation with my missus and my little one. Obviously, went back to Holland. After that, I had the international break in Miami. That's it.
What was the weather like in Holland? Nice?
Yeah, it was okay back then. I think now it's similar to here. But when I was in Holland, it was like 28, 30 degrees.
Nice.
Nice.
So what I want to ask you is, when you come to QPR, was there anyone who took you under their wing?
I would say not specific one person. I think everybody helped me, but I had a good connection with Ilias. He speak Dutch as well, so that was easy for me. But I'd say everybody was helping me.
Ilias speaks Dutch, does he? Did you say?
Yeah, he speaks Dutch. Yeah.
I can't imagine that. I don't know why.
he's from Belgium.
Of course he is, yeah. So, yeah.
They speak Dutch as well there.
Nice. How was your pre-season? Was it tough?
Yeah, it was tough. I think the pre-seasons here in the UK are always tough. but yeah, that was a good preseason. I think the gaffer is, yeah, works a lot with us. He gets more time than last season now with us. So, no, it was a good preseason. Preseason, tough, but...
A lot of running.
Yeah, a lot of running. And in Austria, it was so hot. And I don't know what it was, but it was Austria was really, really tough, yeah.
Nice. Do you share rooms there, or do you have your own room?
Yeah, I shared with Ozzy, Kakai.
Nice.
Good guy.
Do you get up so much as well? Obviously, I know you do your pre-season and that, but any games at the night?
No, we played some games in the hotel, but we didn't leave the hotel. We went somewhere middle of the nowhere, so
yeah.
We couldn't go anywhere. So we just played some games every evening and just chill, yeah.
Chill. Did anyone stand out in the preseason camp?
Sorry?
Come back. Did anyone stand out in the preseason camp who you think they've come back fitter than ever?
I don't know. I think no one surprised me. Everybody was fit, looking good, so. No one surprised me, no.
Nice. What have you worked on the most in your pre-season preparing for the new season?
Myself or?
Yeah, yourself.
Myself. I want to get my numbers up, like goals, assists. So I'm working a bit more on my attacking info. Yeah. That's the main thing I want to focus this season. So, yeah, that's it.
Ken, did anyone come back to pre-season like a little bit overweight? Had too much of a fun time on holiday?
No. No, I think maybe everybody was maybe a little bit, yeah, not overweight, but a little bit more than.
A little bit rusty,
but I think that's normal. You have to enjoy your days off, your time off. I was as well a little bit, I had as well a little bit more weight than the end of the season. But when the preseason starts, you lose everything so quick. So that's why I said I think everybody's fit, everybody's looking good. Yeah.
What's a good Dutch cuisine? That you like to eat a pre-season? Is there like a cuisine in particular that you can eat a pre-season but maybe you can't
during the
is there something to eat when you go back to Holland? Is there something
dinner
or something you can eat?
No, yeah, just the kitchen from my mom and dad. That's it. Some Suriname food. That's what I miss in the UK. Yeah, that's it.
Just quickly, Ken, what's been the biggest difference between a Gareth Ainsworth preseason and a Mick Beale preseason last year? Has there been any real differences?
I think the running with Mick Beale was a lot more.
Right.
But yeah, that's the only thing I think. What I said, Gareth Ainsworth has now more time with us to explain how he sees the game. I think last season he just came in and helped us to stay in the league, and now he can get us more in his philosophy. I think that's maybe a difference, but that was last season the same. Mick Beale came in as a new manager, and he also showed us his philosophy. So I don't know. I didn't see any big differences, but I would say the running with Mick Beale was a lot. Yeah.
I just want to touch on last season. I don't want to focus on it too much, but obviously while you're here, I guess my biggest question is how difficult was it being in it, like playing in it under three different managers? And can you pinpoint what caught, you know, was there something in your mind that was the biggest factor in our bad form last season?
Yeah, what you say, like it's difficult to play under three managers in one season. It changed a lot every manager sees the game in a different way, and I think we felt that as well as players. We started with McBeal, a manager who wants to play from the back, nice football. I think Gareth Ainsworth is totally different. But like I said, he came in a worse position, I think. He had to survive with us. We had to stay in the league, and he did his job. And now I think we understand his game more and more. And then we see like, okay, this is another way to play the game, but it's also a good way to play the game. And I don't know the big pinpoint of last season, but I would say then the three managers in one season was maybe the thing that made the season like that.
You touched on McBeal there. Was he a big factor in you signing, and when he left, was it quite difficult for you personally, or did it impact you more than the other players?
Yeah, it was a big factor in my signing. When I spoke to him, everything went very quick. And when he left, yeah, of course it was it did something with me personally, but that's also how football goes, I think. You have to be prepared for everything. You have to adapt to everything. So when the new manager came in, I just gave 100% again, and I want to show my best to the next manager, to Critchley as well. And when Critchley gets sacked, I want to show my best side to Ainsworth as well. So it was not, of course, it did something to me because he was a big factor for me. He gave me also the opportunity to play on this platform, but that's how football goes, and yeah, that's it.
I mean, away from all that, you personally, I think we all agree you had a great season last season, first season in the league. How did you what's your assessment of how your first season went? Because I tell you what, mate, you could jump.
It was very tough for me in the beginning of the season. I think the first 2 months needed the time to adapt to everything, like the physicality, the speed of the game, also the stadiums are always, I think, full. I needed the time to adapt, and that's also a thing, a big factor in last season. Mick gave me the time as well. Maybe in the first 2 months I was not the best on the pitch, but he saw something in me and he trusted me. So it was how do I say that? It was a crazy season. Like, three managers, I never had it before in my life. So many changes. So I've learned a lot in football, but also as a person, yeah.
Just quickly, what's been the biggest, I know you've touched on it a couple of times, but what's been the biggest difference from sort of Dutch football and where you were before to the Championship? I know the physicality is different, but is there any other major differences?
I think especially in the Championship, everybody can win against everybody. It doesn't matter if you are number one or number 24, the number 24 can win against the number one, like us in the end of the season, how we won against Burnley away. It's like, I think that's a big difference from the league in Holland. You have there the top three teams who almost win every game in the league, and in the Championship, you're never 100% sure that you win that weekend.
What was that Burnley game like when it was, the dressing room after? I mean, obviously we all know that you know, no one really gave us a chance. And so, I mean, what was that like at full time?
Yeah, it was a madness. Like what I said, nobody expected us to win away at Burnley. And I think that was also the game that we were safe, I think, for staying in the league. So yeah, it was, of course, was the feeling was so nice because the season was felt so long, and then you wait for the moment that you know, okay, we safe now, you know, and that was the moment. So like felt so good. This, yeah, the dressing room was crazy. Yeah.
Obviously, Ken, you got a goal and a few assists last season. Have you set yourself like any goals or personal targets for this season coming?
Yeah. Like I said in the beginning of this, I want higher numbers. I think I had last season 3 assists, 1 goal. Yeah, I want like 5, 6 assists, 7, like 3 goals. Then I'm happy.
So yeah. I've on YouTube, you've seen you score a few rockets. Are we going to see any of them this season?
Yeah, I'm going to try some. Yeah.
obviously, we've signed Zayed as another left back. Mm-hmm. Do you relish having a bit of competition there? Just like make you kind of up your game a little bit?
No, it's always good to have a competition. It makes me better, it makes him better, it makes the team better. So it's good for everyone. And me and Ziad, we have a good connection. He's a nice guy. So, no, it's I'm not worried at all that we have a new left back. So it's a good thing, yeah. We need it. There's so many games in the league, so we're going to need everybody.
Yeah, obviously, is that like a big difference for you as well from the Dutch league where you play a lot more games? Like, did you find that transition hard?
Yeah. Like you said, I think in the Dutch league is 34 games.
Yeah,
and now we play 46. I've never played more than 28 games before last season. Last season I played 41 games. So, yeah. Big change, but
you was our second most consistent, weren't you? Because Fildy was just not, was just one, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I think Fildy played every game.
Yeah.
So that'll be
even,
a target.
Even the cup games.
That'll be a target.
There wasn't many in them cup games, was it? It never normally is.
Also from me, so when you first signed, Bill mentioned how you played in midfield. How much have you played in midfield, sort of in your academy career or even when you've turned pro? How much have you played?
I've played 7 years in academy as a midfielder. In my pro career, not that much. Maybe a couple games, but in my pro career, I was a left back. And yes, the managers use me sometimes as a midfielder. But no, I would say I prefer the left back position.
But when you were in the academy, was that as a central midfielder or as a left midfielder?
Everything. As a number 10, a number 6, a number 8. But I, on the midfield, I prefer number 8. Yeah.
Just interestingly, because Gareth recently said in an interview with someone else how obviously now we've got 4 players who could play left back. It sort of opens up the option for you to play in midfield. Has he spoken to you about that this season? I think a lot of fans are interested to know whether that's something that's a possibility or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I haven't spoken with him about that. But we have now a new signing, Jack Colbeck. He's also, I think, a midfielder and left back. So maybe he's going to rotate. I don't know. But for now, I train every day on left back position. So
mainly left back. Okay, I was hoping you were going to say in midfield.
I don't know. It's possible. We will see.
Okay, good stuff. Also, out of all the youngsters, even some of the guys that have come back from loan, which one of them has impressed you the most going into the new season? Who do you think could make an impact?
I think Charlie Cameron. He had a good preseason. Yeah. I think Charlie, yeah.
He does look sharp in all of the training videos. Mm-hmm. It's just about getting them minutes on the pitch, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It's finishing is so good. And yeah, he looked sharp, fit, and he didn't surprise me, but yeah, last season he was on loan, so I didn't saw him a whole season. But now I see, like, okay, he's gonna be important for us, I think.
Good. Yeah, we've heard from other coaches. I think Warburton said he was the best finisher at the club, and we had some big strikers at that point, you know, Charlie Austin, etc.
Yeah, I've heard it as well on the club. So and his finishing is really good, yeah.
And the final one from me, so out of your career, so at PSV, PEX Volo and QPR, if you can name the three top players you've played with, who would they be?
I would say Memphis Depay. Jethro Willems. Is it only pro or also in the
academy? Also academy, we'll count academy.
Ah, okay. Then I would say, Frankie de Jong as well.
Ilias,
he's in my top five. Yeah.
He makes the top five. Someone needs to send this on to Ilias that you don't rate.
So, well, who's better, Ilias or Chrissy Willock?
Oh, we can't say that.
That's a difficult one.
Because obviously they both play left wing, they both kind of play in front of you. So who do you like to link up with the most?
I really don't know. Serious. It's not that I can't say anything, but both are so good. I know if they play in front of me, I can always give them the ball. Yeah. Always. Doesn't matter if they have somebody in their back or something. I can always play. But I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay, quick one. Maybe this might answer it. On the pod, we normally get you players to do your five-a-side team. So if you were picking a QPR, since you've been at QPR, a five-a-side team, you're the manager. So you can't pick yourself. You're the manager. Who are you picking?
Okay, I will pick Ili.
Right. Chris. In goal.
Also goalkeeper. No goalkeeper, eh?
Well, it's up to you. Yeah, you need a goalkeeper. Don't you need a five-a-side team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You need a goalkeeper. But Ili, Chrissy, Taylor Richards, you need a defender, Jake, and a goalkeeper.
Got to stick Begovic's in the mix considering his medal.
Good team for five aside.
Kenneth, I don't know how true this is, I'm just interested. It's 5 days. Five days before signing to QPR, you was off on your way to a Poland team. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I was. The deal was almost done.
And you come to QPR.
And then, I got a call from my old agent, and he said QPR has a new manager and he wants you. Then I was like, what? And then I said to him, who's the new manager? Then he said, Mick Beale. He knows you from a tournament back in the days, I think, was under 14 or something. And then I was, yeah, I know him. And then I spoke the same day to Mick, and he said, I want you here. I've got a great idea. I want to play football. I know you like that, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, yeah, that was my dream to play in England, and that's why I said like McBeal is a big factor for me to give me the opportunity to play. Yeah, on this stage, you know.
They didn't go on to win the league or anything, did they? This Polish team, or they didn't go on to do something well.
Sorry.
The Poland team, they didn't go on to do anything special, did they? Didn't miss out?
No, a little bit. But, no, to be fair, the money in Poland was better than here. The offers, but no, UK but much better.
At least you pay for the biggest team in West London anyway. We'll leave it there.
Exactly. I can say that later.
just one quick question. We'll let you go. One last question. I don't know if you've seen or you've heard, but obviously with predictions that are floating around start of the season, we're not predicted to do particularly well. Is that felt in the dressing room? Do you see that? Do you talk about that sort of stuff? That, you know, that we're the bookies' favourites, if you like, to sort of be down in the relegation zone?
No, it doesn't feel like that in the dressing room. Yeah, we know it's going to be a tough season. We know, but we don't think about relegation or something because we know we have so much quality in the room. So we are confident and we are ready.
Great stuff. Great. All right, mate. Look, I'll let you go. Thanks for coming on. Good luck Saturday. And we'll be there. So if you can, a couple of 20 or 30 yarders, we'll watch out for him.
Or you could just swing one onto Lyndon's head, get an assist.
Yeah. Get an assist. Would be nice starting the season with an assist.
Yeah. Nice one, Ken, for coming on. Cheers, pal.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, bye.
What a nice chat, lads. We wanted to get Kenneth on for a while, but for whatever reason, he's not wanting to do pod. So it's great to chat to him in the end. And I think last season, he was one of our positives that wasn't many. It was interesting what he was talking about, Beal and his influence in that Poland. I'd love to know who that team was. I don't know if anyone knows who won the league in Poland. Anyone know who won the league in Poland?
That's when you need Jack the Stat on. You'll be able to get that up and shot that straight away.
Yeah. All right, lads. Cool. Well, let's end it there then. Thanks for coming on, Harry, Brad, Doug. Let's hope we get a good result on Saturday.
Cheers, boys.
Get a few spiders through the door.
Yeah. Yours.
Yours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.